What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump
day. Hump day.
Hopefully everybody's Wednesday is off to a great start. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? All good. Andy Bunker on a misty kind of whatever you want to call it, because it's going to be
cold.
It's going to be brick tomorrow.
Yeah,
it's you
terrible.
Know, but yeah, man, it is good to be up in the house as we get closer and closer to playoff weekend. Obviously, like Caleb said, the Hawks, they lost on the first West Coast road loss of the season,
yep.
Which is saying something. That means they're playing good out West.
They've been good on the road.
They've been playing good out there. The coaching carousel of the NFL is in full swing right now.
Yep.
You know, and if you're not in the playoffs, you can, and the coach that you want is not on a team, you could sign and get them and all that other stuff. And there's a couple dudes out there that are I'll ask you this. Do you think their coach is available now? The Falcons.
Oh, is he available right
yes,
now?
Yes.
The coach that they're going to hire?
The coach, yeah.
Yes.
You think he's available now? So you don't think it's Kubiak or anything?
Well, I thought you were trying to ask me about LaFleur. Sorry. I wasn't as intellectually prepared for that question as I should have been. Sorry about
that. That's okay. I can stump people sometimes.
Yeah, you stump me. You got me. Yeah, okay, so, all right. Now I'm thinking about coordinators that are on playoff teams. God, I don't know. I don't know who I think they're going to hire.
Right.
I guess is the answer to that question. So if it's Kubiak, then no. If it's LaFleur, obviously no. If it's Harbaugh, yes. Tomlin isn't going to coach next year. We'll get back to that in just a minute. Even he knows when to drop news to make sure Dukes and Bell get it.
Yeah, I mean,
Tomlin,
come on.
202.
I wasn't going to even say that.
I was halfway to my car.
I wasn't even going to say anything that we got.
God.
That we got.
Fair, all right, there we go, Tomlin.
I was like, are you serious?
Okay, so do I think that the Falcons' next coach is available right now?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay.
I think he's probably on a playoff.
All right, because my 12-year-old boy asked me that this morning.
Okay.
He was like, Dad,
God,
I don't.
He's smarter than me already.
He's like, he got me. He was like, hey, Dad, who are the Falcons going to hire? I said, I don't know. Well, is he still coaching? I was like, what you mean? He's like, is their coach still on the coaching in the playoffs? I was like, damn. Good damn question. I'm gonna ask Andy.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I'm gonna ask Andy. But I don't know, because I think when we look at this coaching, every coaching cycle.
No, actually, you know what?
Okay.
I do think that their next coach is available.
Okay.
I do.
Okay.
I don't think Clint Kubiak is gonna be the next coach of the Falcons.
Okay. Right.
I think the next coach of the Falcons is either Harbaugh, Stefanski, mm-hmm. or Mike McDaniel.
You think Mike McDaniels is?
I think he's in the mix.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm just curious when I say that, because obviously John Harbaugh is visiting the Giants, first in person meeting, and if they are smart, they don't let him out of the building. You know what I mean? You don't let him out of the building. You have all the contract stuff sitting there, all the whatever if Joe Shane is there conducting the interview and he tells you, you need to leave because I don't want you as my general manager, you get up and damn leave. You know, they're that desperate. Are the Falcons desperate to get John Harbaugh?
I don't think they're desperate to get John Harbaugh.
I don't
the Falcons
either.
Are desperate.
Oh, no, they're desperate.
To get the decision correct.
Yes.
But I don't think that necessarily is where they're desperate.
Okay. I'm just curious because I think John Harbaugh is a hell of a coach. So I want to act like I poop him. But the more I think about it, I'm like, is he the right fit? I mean, he's a good damn coach. Don't get me wrong. But is he the right fit for this team? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah, I don't know either.
But just based on what we kind of hear them hinting to us about what they're looking for, because they're not telling us for sure. I mean, they're telling us we want a united vision and we want to win and all that. But like what specifically they want their coach to be like and what they want that to look like, it just doesn't seem like that's what they want.
Right.
Certainly hasn't been historically.
Right.
I mean, an 18-year head coach with all of that winning and all of that sway in an organization, they've never wanted that. They've always wanted a guy.
A collaborative.
Especially, they've always, almost always wanted a new guy.
Yeah.
Like, they've almost always made a coach, a first-time head coach outside of Raheem.
Outside of Raheem, yeah. I mean, I think that's what I'm saying.
It's in the blank era.
And I don't want to say that Harbaugh doesn't come with a collaboration of things. You know what I mean? Like, he's not willing to work with people and things like that. Because, I mean, you can't get to that success where he is and all those things because, you know, he worked under Ozzie and then it worked under DaCostas and all those different things. So he knows how to, you know, whatever.
Yeah, well, look, like anybody who's a head coach in an organization is going to have to work with his coworkers.
Yeah, but this would be like, is this his first time where coming from the outside in, it's not an Ozzie that goes down to DaCostas. And then, you know what I mean, his role doesn't change. Is this will maybe be the role where he gets more of the control. Not to say he didn't have that kind of power in Baltimore. It's like, I don't want this guy or something like that. But he's coming in now with the cachet that he has and, you know, the 18 years of success and I mean, 12 of those in the playoffs and all the different things. Does he have that want to, like you said, the ego part about it? It's like, everything is going to be my way. From the players we draft to all this other stuff, and is that possible here?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think that they would want that. Now, should they want it? I don't know. I mean, they've tried it the other way a whole bunch of times.
Tried a different way.
It maybe is a good idea to bring in a guy with some success and clear vision.
Right.
And there's no question about that. He's got a vision for the way he wants it run. I will say, when you look at the coaches that are available in terms of guys that have been coaches, right? Like guys that were head coaches that either stepped down or were fired, essentially. Not coordinators, because coordinators are a different thing. They're on their way up, mm-hmm. right? If you're a head coach, you're up there. You're just trying to stay up there. He's the only one that comes from a situation where the quarterback situation was good.
Yep.
Like, hit Lamar. Now, Lamar this year was banged up and was hurt for a part of the year and missed time and all that kind of stuff.
And the organization chose Lamar.
Which they should have.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, if that's what it came down to, then you choose the 28-year-old MVP quarterback.
Yes.
No offense to the coach, but, like, we've seen very successful coaches get kicked out based on players being chosen. Like that's what happens.
Right.
And it's players league, man. I mean, you got a quarterback, you gotta cater to him. All the other ones, you can kind of look at it and be like, well, I understand why he got fired. Mm-hmm. Like, we had the caller yesterday in the AMA who was very anti Kevin Stefanski, and I think he laid out his point really clearly and articulately in that call. The one thing that he did say, which I do think might be this might be an argument for Stefanski, is how many quarterbacks he's had to deal with in Cleveland over the last handful of years.
Right.
I mean, it was an awful quarterback.
Yes.
The worst quarterback situation in the league by far. He still got him in the playoffs with Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and I just mean over the course of time.
Right.
Starting with Deshaun Watson through what they have now. Like,
right.
I don't know that anybody's had it worse than that. But that's why he's gone.
Just
because they got it so wrong, and they got other things wrong too. They're the Browns, but I mean that's why, you know, that's why the momentum came to a halt with Tomlin in Pittsburgh,
mm-hmm.
quarterback for 5 years, six years. The same thing with McDaniel in Miami. When Tua was healthy, they were all right, but Tua has proved to not be able to be healthy, and he's not a consistent quarterback.
Yeah,
like, that's the reason why coaches don't stay in their jobs, except for Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Who had an MVP, and I guess it just didn't work out.
Yeah, it didn't work out, and you know, we can go back to all the other stuff you hear didn't, because that's always like Todd Bowles is on his last one now, because once you start firing coordinators and things like that,
got to win this year.
You got to win this year, or you're going to be done. You know, and then I mean that's reportedly what happened with Jim. He didn't want to, you know, get rid of his coordinators and things like that. That happened. I mean, here in Atlanta, you know, I know it was one of the things where the coordinators nowadays is more valuable than anything. The continuity of it, because sooner or later that coordinator's gonna be gone. You know, if he's good,
or if he's bad, or if he's bad.
But meaning in a good way.
Yeah,
meaning,
yeah, right.
You know,
ideally he's gone.
Yeah,
he's
because
good.
That's the same thing that the Eagles are going through.
Exactly.
You know, same thing the Eagles are going through, and they keep messing up because they'll have a guy, he'll go be a head coach. They're hired within, he's fired. They'll go get an outside guy. He goes to get a head coach guy. They'll promote within. He's fired.
I've never seen anything like
that.
It's
crazy.
Yeah.
It's every other year. It's crazy.
They completely get it wrong or they completely get it right.
Yeah.
Because their roster obviously is good enough to win the Super Bowl.
It's unbelievable. So you're in a situation, and I know referencing the caller that you were talking about, and that's always my question about the Clint Kubiaks and all these dudes. Matt LaFleur, the question with him was, you know, yeah, we know what he does as far as offense and quarterbacks. Like, can he coach a football team? And I think that's always the most valuable thing. I think if Matt LaFleur leaves, I think Matt LaFleur would be great for Michael Penix.
I do too.
Because he's been great he was great. You remember when Aaron, when he got there with Aaron was like plateaued.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, shoom,
yep.
And then we got to see what he's done with Jordan Love.
Yeah.
And so can he come in here if he's available, which I don't think he will be.
Yeah. You know, if they're smart, he won't be.
So yeah. Then, I mean, because the biggest thing, if you go get a Jim Harbaugh or you go get a Brian Flores, you go get one of those guys, the offensive coordinator, quarterback coach who's ever going to work with Michael Penix is the most important hire of that cycle. Outside of the head coach, that right there is the most important thing, is the guy who can work with Michael Penix, period.
If that's the direction that
they want to go.
Because there's also a path in which they go through this process and all of the coaches are telling them, I don't think he's got it.
And then if that's
we got to, he can because he's under contract or whatever.
Right.
But we got to find a way to get a franchise quarterback.
Yes. And if they're there with that one, then, you know, you don't have a first round pick this year.
I know. And that's a process.
And that's, you know what I mean? Like, because that's one of the things where you're not going to cut Michael.
No.
You know, and if you're not saying that he's your guy and he's healthy, you're going to play him because you want to see.
Yeah, and this team's too good to lose enough to get you a number one or three or whatever pick that you're going to need to get the quarterback.
So
I don't think anyone will say that, but I just wonder, because those guys are going to have to be the most honest. We're all like, we don't know. Like,
right.
I don't know if Penix is the future or not. I hope he is, obviously, and I think most people should, because
can you go into that conversation with Matt Ryan and Beatles and those boys, and they ask you that question, and you say, we'll see?
I don't think so.
You know what I mean?
I don't think, like, so. You have to be sure.
Yeah, like, we'll see. You know, that's one of the things where you're like, we'll see.
I don't know, but that's the only honest answer.
Yeah.
So maybe you can. I don't know. To me, that's the most interesting part of all of it. And we keep coming back to it. Is like, yes, you know, there's arguments for and against all of the coaches that are available. There's a reason why the ones that were head coaches are available. And there's a reason why the coordinators that are in the mix are in the mix. Like, there's an argument for all of them. The argument against all the coordinators is the same. It's, how do you know if they can coach a team?
Mm-hmm.
They can coach offense or defense. They can coordinate. How do you know that they can actually lead an entire NFL
because that was the same with Mike McDonald. You didn't know. You know, the hell of a defensive line.
You don't know.
But then you see. Yeah.
Yeah, he can.
Yeah, he can.
Yeah, he can. Well, it turns out he can.
Yeah, he can. You know?
Yeah. No doubt. But again, that's always the risk you take with a coordinator.
Yeah.
You just don't know until they do it, which is fine. I mean, every coach who's really good in the NFL right now at one point was a coordinator who a team took a chance on. So that's the path that you take for the most part. But that's the question. That's the question, and that's the problem that has to be solved. Whoever they hire to be the head coach and then his staff, and whoever they hire a general manager as well, it's got to find a way to immediately determine, and that means when they play football games next year, whether or not Michael Penix is the future. And I guess they could determine quickly that he's not.
Yeah.
And that injuries could determine
that
he's not.
And that could be it, because you got to think about it. Like, Michael's going through rehab and everything. Whoever's coming in pretty much is going to come with new stuff. Terminology. System, even all the same, just different terminology,
right?
You know, like,
which he's not going to be able to work on,
like, process
until the rehab.
How
is
you
over.
Want him to play the quarterback position?
Watch all the tape and talk to him and all that stuff. But and again, that's what it's all complicated, because it's hard to hire the right head coach. That's why there's nine now, nine available jobs. It's hard to hire the right general manager, even though there's only one right now.
Pittsburgh is looking for their fourth coach. Atlanta's had four coaches since we've done this show.
Here's what the Falcons should do. I actually thought about this last night. Yes, this is the Falcons' fourth coach since you and I started this show. Just pay attention to who Pittsburgh's going to hire and then snake them.
Yeah.
Like, throw whatever Pittsburgh wants to pay them double. And then you have your next coach for 20 years.
Who is that job?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine? Like, you're – Chuck Noll.
It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Bill Cowher
and Mike Tomlin, and then you. Like, if you don't do the job for 15 years, you're a failure.
Yeah.
And win a Super Bowl.
Damn.
No pressure. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to what's trending here to kick off the show. First hour brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.